Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Greetings, salutations. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of Evan and Tiki. We got a lot to get to. It is official. Justin Fields will not be the starting quarterback for the New York Jets on Sunday. More on that later. Good news coming out of Giant Camp as they get set for Sunday night against the Kansas City Chiefs. And Yankee fans almost got a heart attack last night, courtesy of their baseball team. But last night, I'm honored, Tiki, that you were at Citi Field.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you witnessed last night at Citi Field, and you know me, I love baseball.
Yes, you do.
We saw the future. We saw the future. Because last night, Carlos Mendoza finally did something that is necessary for the state of the New York Mets, and I'm here to tell you, is the future of Major League Baseball.
I agree with you 100%.
The tag team pitching effort.
They call it the piggyback. You know, did it? The Dodgers did this.
Sort of, but not sort of. Really.
They did it like an opener. They did it more of the...
That's different,
they did
though,
it more of the Tampa Bay way.
But the Tampa Bay way was never made sense to me. And that's why this is so different. Like, I'll never forget, and I'll give the guy credit. What's his name on MLB Network? Kenny. What's his last name again? Brian Kenny. Brian Kenny, who I have great respect for.
Like Kenny.
Brian Kenny.
Or Kenny Albert?
I don't think he does MLB. Kenny has a lot of jobs, and he's great at all of them, but I don't think he talks baseball.
It was not him. The great Brian Kenny, many, many years ago, would go on TV and scream and yell about how the future of baseball is an opener. Mm. And we saw it, right? We saw the Rays do it for a while. We obviously saw the Yankees do it in that postseason game. We saw the Dodgers do it last year. And what I always had a tough time wrapping my head around was why this even made sense. Like, what is the point of using a reliever for an inning and then a quote-unquote bulk guy? So, it became the rage around baseball, but it never made sense. What we saw last night, and Yankee fans, I want you to pay attention because this can involve you at some point. This is the future, okay? Guys don't go 9 innings anymore. Let's accept that. Bullpens, for the most part, are shaky. Yankee fans are shaking their head right now. Yeah. We accept that. So if you have a couple of guys who are really 4 or 5 inning pitchers, which is the majority of pitchers in 2025, why would you not tell them, all right, you're going to tag team this baby tonight. You go four, which normally isn't long enough. But if two guys are going four, hey, Sean, what's 4 plus 4?
8.
That's basically the game.
That's true.
So what we saw last night is not only exciting for what the Mets should deploy over the last few weeks of the year and certainly into the playoffs, but I'm making you a prediction on September 17th, 2025.
Mm-hmm.
This is the future of Major League Baseball. Because if starters T can't go through 7 and they can't go 8 and majority of them can't, why not lean into the 4 or 5 innings and say tag team it?
You know what's interesting? This is an old idea brought anew. And the only reason I know this is because back in the day, I don't remember even why we had Rich Goose Gossage on our show.
Mm.
But he came on our show, and if you've ever heard him talk, he's curmudgeon-y. he is angry about the future and everything that Major League Baseball has become. But he said this thing, and I'll never forget it. He was talking about closers. And he's like, why do you? Because he's obviously just one of the great closers in Major League Baseball history for a while. Led the league 3 or 4 times and saves, I can't remember what it was, but it doesn't even matter. But he would say, why do you need a closer? They throw me in the 5th inning, and I finished the game.
right.
I remember being like, That's because you were badass, yeah, man. Like, you were also a starter. Like, he started a bunch of games in one of those seasons. So it hit me and it stuck, and then it kind of, I forgot about it until last night. And as I was watching the game last night, Sean Manaea comes in and he's doing that sidearm lefty delivery, and he only gives up the one home run, the only run that he gave up. It was just, it made me remember Goose Gossage and the idea that this is the future. It's what never took form in the late 70s, 80s with guys like Goose Gossage.
Well,
because they didn't have a designated closer. They just had the next guy who would come in and hopefully finish the game.
Well, and back then, closers, if you would be able to pitch multiple innings, which is now rare. Like, yes, when David Bednar comes in and gets six outs, we make a big deal of it. Same thing with Edwin Diaz. So mm-hmm. It was different in that regard. I think what's leading to this point, what the Mets are deploying, and they should deploy it more over the last 2 weeks, and I think we'll be deployed throughout baseball over the next decade, a couple of things are making this happen. Number one, the designated hitter. I got to start right there. Hmm. Obviously, in the American League, we always had that, so it could have been an option in the AL. But in the NL, I never thought about this because I'm usually pinch hitting
late
in games.
Right.
I don't have to worry about that anymore because pitchers don't hit. So number one, if I'm using a guy to pitch the last four or five innings, I don't have to factor in that big at-bat late in the game. That is now gone since pitchers do not hit anymore. And number two, we have reached a crisis point in Major League Baseball. There is only a handful of guys that legitimately go deep into games.
Yes.
It's a handful.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, Yankee fans, I want you part of this conversation too. You have a few of them. Like, before Gerrit Cole's injury, he was one of those guys that could go deep into games. Max Fried and Carlos Rodon, I would qualify as guys that can go relatively deep in games.
Yeah, you have one too, sort of, even though he's kind of been bad of late, David Peterson.
Sort of, yeah, I agree. Nolan McLean has a chance to be that guy. But the majority of starting pitchers, they don't go deep into games.
No.
And sometimes we ask them to go deep into games when they're not capable of it and bad things happen. Like last night with Cam Schlettler, which is a great example. You have a big lead, so you assume, I'll be able to get five out of him.
Mm-hmm.
So what I loved about last night, and this isn't always going to work. Obviously, the Mets scored five runs in the first inning. That helped out. Clay Holmes was attacking the strike zone. He gave up a couple of solo home runs. That helped out. It's not always going to be perfect. I acknowledge that.
Right.
But you're basically telling your starting pitcher, I'm not asking for more out of you than what you're capable of. Go give me four good innings. Because if two guys go four innings, like I asked Sean to do the math, you've just completed 8/9 of the game.
Right. Or 4 and 5, like you got from Sean Manaea.
Right. Or last night, when you literally don't have to use any real reliever. So I love it. I know it's not always going to work.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, Teague, this is the future. It's the future of baseball.
I think you're going to see teams think about doing it. It's going to get complicated if you're going to try to do it every game.
Well, you can't do it every game. So I thought this through last night. I had a lot of time, Tiki, after the game, and had a wonderful time with Tiki and Sean and Tommy. SNY gave us some TV time. We'll get to that later. But I was thinking about this all last night. Obviously, you can't do it every single day. I think there are one or two spots in your rotation where you say you guys are the tag team. So let's use the Mets as an example, since there are 2 weeks left in the season,
mm-hmm.
and they are they're on the cutting edge of this. Sean Manaea and Clay Holmes are the tag team. They're tag team number one. We can give them any kind of nickname you want. You guys are creative. You come up with it. All right? Whatever it is. Clay Holmes, Sean Manaea. Sean, you used to like wrestling back in the day. Used to have the Hart Foundation. Used to have Legion of Doom, the New Age Outlaws.
Yeah, Badass Billy Gunn there.
There you go.
I'm working on it.
You work on a tag team name. So those guys are a team. And it doesn't have to be Clay starting and Sean coming after. Mendy acknowledged that after the game,
mm-hmm.
that they're thinking about, on Sunday, flipping the two guys. Because the Nationals feature more left-handed bats, especially towards their top of the order. So makes complete sense. I would also do this with John.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
On a Tongan Kodai Senga. So I think two-fifths of their rotation should be tag teams. And then, yeah, Nolan McClain and Brandon Sproat and David Peterson would be your normal, quote-unquote, starters. And then on the days where your tag team pitches, you're probably not going to have to use much of your bullpen.
Yeah.
Because,
like,
again,
last night, you didn't use any of it.
You didn't use any of it. And even on mediocre nights, like, let's say you get 3 and 4 innings out of your tag team, that's still 7/9 of a baseball game.
Yeah, so here's the thing. It's exciting to think about this potentially working. It's challenging if either or both of them crap the bed.
Well, okay. Sean brought that up last night, and I have an answer to this.
Especially if it's the starter.
Well, I think it's worse if it's the second guy, because you've already taken the starter out.
I agree with that.
Well, let's use last night as an example. So, Clay Holmes pitches 4 innings, allows 3 hits and 2 runs. His pitch count was low. It was in the 50s. He's clearly capable in a normal start to begin the 5th inning, right?
Yes.
The Mets wisely, Carlos Mendoza wisely says, did your job, I'm going to take you out.
Mm-hmm.
If Sean Manaea implodes in the 5th inning, you're now going to your bullpen, your true bullpen, in the 5th inning. And the way I would answer Sean or anyone else who says, uh-oh, that's a disaster,
yeah,
wouldn't that be every 5th day anyway?
Yeah, true, but here's
it's the same thing.
The only way this works is if you have 2 starters who are both, I don't want to say dispensable, because you need them obviously for this, but 2 starters who you're not necessarily needing to start every 5 days. You know what I mean? So if Clay Holmes blows it in the 2nd inning and you got to go to Sean Manaea, maybe he can finish you the game.
Correct. Like, maybe you do get 5 or 6 innings out of
him. But if you don't have a Sean Manaea, then you're stuck with a bullpen. You're basically already in the bullpen.
No, you only do it with 2 capable starting pitchers. Like, Sean Manaea and Clay Holmes are great examples of it, because if you
want... How many guys are going to want to do this?
I don't care what they want. I'm glad you brought that up. Really?
We talked about this yesterday
at
the game, because Clay Holmes only pitched 4 innings.
Right.
And look, they had a huge lead. He did his job.
Yes.
He didn't get the win. Sean Manaea got the
win.
Well,
I think we're...
Now, the wins don't matter, but it kind of does.
So, I think that we are headed to... And I know that Gary and Keith talked about this on the broadcast last night. I brought this up a lot on the Rico. It's an in-the-weeds thing.
Mm-hmm.
They should change the win stat. It should become a decision that official scorers make. And once that happens, your argument's out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an easy change. The game has changed. The sport has changed.
Right.
My grandfather, the late Grandpa Bernie, used to always tell me that. He would get very pissed off when a closer would blow a game for a starter and then vultured the win.
Yeah.
And he used to tell me and my dad, this is why official scorers should make the decision on wins.
Right.
Well,
David Bednar's done this a couple times this year for the Yankees.
That's right. Well, my grandfather was ahead of his time. So I think that's coming. And if starting pitchers don't want to do it, too bad. You know what I would tell Clay Holmes? If you ever prove that you can pitch 7 innings, then you can be one of the regular traditional starters.
Right.
Like, I'm not asking Nolan McClain to do this. I'm not even asking David Peterson yet to do this. But for the guys that are proving that they are 4-5 inning guys, it makes the most sense. So I don't care what Clay Holmes or Sean Manaea prefers. Now, both after the game gave the right answer, which is whatever is best for the team. It is best for the team. And I see a world in the future, and you can't do it with your entire rotation. It's just the numbers won't work.
Right.
But you can do it with a spot or two, especially if you have enough arms to say you're tag teaming games. And I want to see them do it with Tong and Senga next, because I'm not confident Kodai Senga can go 6 or 7 innings, and Jonah Tong is a young arm.
Mm-hmm.
So
who starts? Senga?
I don't think that matters, Teague. I think that you approach it based on lineups.
I think it matters for a guy like Kodai Senga, who came over to be, you know, one of these aces in Major League Baseball. So now you're going to throw him out of the pen?
Well, first of all,
I think what you're discounting is the ego. And I'm not using that in a cocky way,
mm-hmm.
but the ego of professional athletes, especially starting pitchers in Major League Baseball.
Sean Manaea is making $25 million a year. Sean Manaea was the quote-unquote ace of the Mets last year. He handled it like a champion.
He also has stunk since he came back from the IL.
Well, what's Kodai Senga done since he came back from the IL before he was sent to the minors?
True.
I'll play this game all day
with
you. True,
but Kodai Senga has not signed a $25 million a year contract.
No, he signed a $15 million a year contract. He makes less money, if anything. I think that, yeah, as a manager, you've always got to massage the egos,
of course,
and getting guys to buy in. But I just see something that makes a lot of sense. And what's always boggled my mind, as I mentioned at the top, is the opener and the bulk guy never made sense. It always felt like guys were too smart for themselves in executing that plan. This is simple, and it makes sense. We're in a world in which starters don't go deep into games. So take two guys who are good for four innings, who pay the tax of third time around the batting order. We've heard that term before. They pay the third time around the batting order tax. Well, guess what? If I'm only asking four innings from you, maybe five, but probably four, maybe even three on some days, then there's no tax.
Yeah.
You're tax-free. And I think the Mets not only have a chance to put themselves in a better position to win games over the final 2 weeks, but I think they have a chance to show the rest of Major League Baseball that you are staring at the future. And Scott Boras may not like it. He may not like the fact that general managers are going to respond to the likes of Clay Holmes and say, we're not going to pay you that much because you're only pitching half of what we're expecting. That's not my problem.
Yeah.
And that's not Mendy's
but
problem.
But that is a problem.
Well,
at the end of the day, the money that guys are going to be limited to is going to be a problem.
Then prove you can go seven innings.
Yeah, no, you're right.
If you can't go seven innings,
it ups the bar for starting pitchers.
Nolan McClain looks like he can go deep into games, and that's why I don't even mention him in this discussion.
Right.
Max Fried has made his money, deservedly so. I'm not going to mention him in this discussion. But for 80% of the rest of the league, and I don't think that's an exaggeration, that 80% of starting pitchers are basically four or five inning guys. For you guys, welcome to a new world order. And that new world order is you're going to tag team. And if you want to come up with cute nicknames and sell t-shirts with your tag team partner, I'm all for it. Met fans, go at it. Clay Holmes and Sean Manaea. You're a wrestling fan, Tommy. You got a nickname for those two?
I don't, but I'm cooking one up as we speak.
Okay. Whatever you got. It's the future of Major League Baseball, and it's got the Mets on a two-game winning streak. Before we tag team together.
What?
And I do like the term tag team. Like, I don't like piggyback. Who does piggybacks?
Piggyback's a cool name, though.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
Is a piggyback where, like, you go on my back and I carry you?
Yes.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with what we just saw. It's not even an accurate comparison. Did Sean Manaea go on Clay Holmes' back?
No.
No, they tagged out and tagged in like professional wrestling.
Yeah, but tag team has different connotations that kind of, you know.
I don't know.
Might be inappropriate.
Like what?
Just check out your porn search.
Wow. I mean, jeez. I'm thinking about the Wyatt Six being the 10-team champions right
also,
now.
That could also be porn. The
We'll get to your calls coming up. Do you see the future the way I do? We'll get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Carlos Mendoza did confirm that the tag team will continue on Sunday, possibly with Sean Manaea starting, followed by Clay Holmes coming out of the bullpen. So get used to it. It may be the future of baseball, but in the next few weeks, it's the future of the New York Mets. So I was asking all of the AI services, because we're not creative anymore. We just ask AI to do it for us, to come up with nicknames for the Manaea Holmes tag team. There's a few that are okay. Mana Holmes, the Clay-Nia combo. This one may be my favorite. Southpaw and Sink. Get it? Because Sean's a southpaw and Clay Holmes was a sinker. Southpaw and Sink. And then Anthony Gallo, who works here, just said simply H&M, which is a famous department store. H&M, Holmes and Manaea. So there you go. Nothing's there yet, but we'll get there. We've got a few more days. They will next tow the rubbers on Sunday afternoon against the Washington Nationals, where the Mets will try the tag team again. We'll get to the confidence level Yankee fans have in Devin Williams, how Anthony Volpe will be handled moving forward, and our day at Citi Field. But let's get to some of your calls, 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. Pete is in Merrick. Good afternoon, Pete.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
It's wonderful.
Great. I was actually listening to the Rico right before I turned you guys on. We were talking, you're having the same discussion about the tag teaming. And I was just curious. I'm all for it. I was just curious what you what you would do, then it's a good problem to have. If the first starter is just cruising and looking good, you keep him in longer and, you know, maybe mess up the next guy's scheduling? Like, how would you handle something like that?
No, and it's a great, great question, because last night was perfect, right? The Mets scored a lot of runs, and Clay Holmes, you know, put a guy on base with two outs in the fourth inning. I was even saying to Tiki, boy, would he go to Manaea mid-inning? He had him warming up. But even though Clay's pitch count was down, I think we were all universally good with taking Clay Holmes out at four innings and two runs. But he brings up the more complicated issue, which is, let's say on Sunday against the Nationals, Sean Manaea gets the start, and he retires literally the first 15 guys.
Yeah, you keep him in.
Do you?
Yeah, I think you have to. Because if he's rolling and he's not feeling any kind of stress, it would be a disservice to make Clay Holmes now work harder, in theory.
But haven't we seen enough of Sean Manaea, unless you assume everything's going to change, that in the fifth and sixth inning of some starts, he's lost it?
Mm-hmm.
So aren't you preemptively trying to kind of get ahead of what's likely going to happen?
Let's take last night, for example. Because Clay Holmes, he pitched relatively well. He only gave up the two runs on two solo home runs.
Right, and then he gave up the double with two outs in the fourth inning, and that was it.
Right, but he kind of worked his way out of those things. But you could tell, just like I could tell, man, he's laboring a little bit. We were actually dissecting where he lines up, stands on the mound.
Yeah.
And where he's on the right side of the mound, is he on the left side of the mound? Because early in the game, it was all two strikes, he moves to the right side of the mound. But then it kind of got random, and we just couldn't figure it out what it was. So it almost felt like he was trying to confuse, like use his setup to create, I don't know, confusion in the batter's mind, and then kind of sneaks nut strikes in. So it felt like he had lost it. It felt like he had lost command. So after the fourth inning, it made perfect sense to pull Clay Holmes. If you'd go one more inning, who knows what would have happened.
No, and even though the bottom of the order was coming up, like, to me it was, I'm getting ahead of this.
Yes.
Now, if a guy's pitching a perfect game, if a guy's dominating, obviously I think that's the area where it becomes more complicated, because there's a part of you that wants to ride it out. But my initial reaction to answer that question is, if I'm executing a tag team, I'm sorry, you're done. You gave me the four or five innings you required, and I'm not pressing my luck any further.
Right.
Because
you're only tag teaming if you have repeated examples of him not being able to get through seven innings.
Correct. Like, even before last year's breakout year for Sean Manaea, he was a five-inning pitcher.
Yeah.
It's not like he ever would go deep, deep into games. So I think if you already kind of have an idea of what that pitcher is, I think you got to show the wherewithal to say, I don't care how good you look, I'm taking you out after four or five innings.
Yep.
Now, that's a good problem to have. The other side of it is if the guy gets knocked out in the first inning. Well, the good news is the next guy coming in is also a starter.
Right.
So in a case like that, maybe you would ask for him to go deeper because you had to take your original starter out of the game so early. Let's go to Chris in Bayshore. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hey, guys. A couple of things. You can't call a tag team. You got to get another nickname. It's not going to work.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Chris.
It's not going to work. And the other thing is, I think that the other caller made a great point. I think you have to go into it with a very, very kind of loose rein on the whole thing. And, Evan, you're kind of describing, well, if this happens and this happens. Well, I mean, I just think that in the land of never-ending second guess, you know, you take a guy out and the other guy still at first inning. I mean, it's got to be a little less than written in stone, if you know what I mean.
I think we're in the land of second guess no matter what you do. I mean, that's just the world we live in. And honestly, I think the reason why there's more second guessing of MLB managers today than there was 10 or 15 years ago is not just Twitter and sports talk radio. It's the fact that they're making more bullpen changes.
Mm.
There's more decisions to be made because it's not simply go get me eight innings.
Yes.
Like, what are you second guessing when a starting pitcher goes that deep into a game? So I'm not worried about the amount of second guessing managers are going to have. I think you're just using the smarts of realizing what starting pitchers in 2025 and beyond are. They're not guys that are going six, seven innings. Those are rare. And by the way, when they do it, like on those rare occasions, remember when David Peterson pitched the complete game? We all went nuts.
Yeah.
Do we know what he did in his next start? He didn't pitch well.
No.
Or how about that guy for the Guardians? Remember Gavin Williams took a no-hitter into the ninth inning? Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Oh.
But I do.
First the Mets, right?
First the Mets. That's the reason I bring it up.
Oh.
It was a Wednesday afternoon game. Was I off that day? Because I took Spence to the game.
No, the Yankees had a day game, too.
Yankees had a day game, too. So the Mets almost got no hit by Gavin Williams. It got broken up on a home run by Juan Soto. The next start.
Oh, I do remember that.
The next start Gavin Williams made. Of course, no one paid attention. Why would we? But I'll tell you what happened. He got bombed. So even when guys, by some miracle, go deep into games and we're all celebrating
it's not natural for them.
Yeah, they end up paying the tax eventually. So what I'm suggesting is avoid all of that unless you have someone who proves they can do it.
So this is exactly why presidents of baseball operations and general managers like David Stearns don't like paying high-priced pitchers.
Well, certain guys are worth it. See, I'd argue this, Teague. Yeah, a guy like Clay Holmes, a guy like Sean Manaea, a guy that you deem a 4 or 5 inning pitcher, sure, why would I want to pay them $20 million a year? But if you actually have a Tarik Skubal, if you actually have a Max Fried, or what we think Nolan McClain's going to be, what Paul Skeens is.
Even though he got beat yesterday.
It happens. Then you almost want to pay them more because this is so unique and so special.
Yeah.
Because guys don't normally do it. I think it would actually enhance the value of the high-end guys, but bring down the value of the guys that you're only asking 4 innings from.
Yeah, well, it would middle those guys that you're asking 4 or 5. You're not at, don't even come to me with a whatever 20-something million, $28, $30 million a year request. You're 15. You're capped at 15. It's like that mid-tier of quarterbacks in the NFL. For the longest time, nobody knew what to pay him.
Right.
Now we know what it is. It's about 15 to 20.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
$1 million. It's Justin Fields.
Yep.
Right. It's not. You don't want to disrespect the guy because he's going to be your starting quarterback, but you're not worth 60.
Right. The guys who are worth that high end are the guys that are that good. And, you know, right now when you have a starting pitcher that is capable of going 7 innings every 5 or 6 days, put your arms around them and hug them.
Yep.
And keep them long term and pay them because they're rare. Jerome in Hazlitt, New Jersey. Hey, Jerome.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Well, listen, first off, the nickname, you call it the law firm day. It covers all of baseball. This way, when it catches on, you know, it's who's pitching today? It's so-and-so, the law firm day. Anyway, I thought about this in the past, and I brought it up to people, and they told me I'm crazy. I like the idea. The only little tweak I would do is have, instead of being 4 innings, 5 innings, you go 5 innings, 4 innings. So if there's never a change in the way they score wins, the starting pitcher has the opportunity to get the win instead of just getting no decision or the possibility of a loss.
Yeah.
And then the guy doing the 4 innings at the end of the game gets the save. Because if you go more, I think it's more than 3 innings, yes, regardless of the score, you get
correct
a save.
Correct.
So it kind of massages the egos for both guys.
That's a good way to think about it. The question is, can your starter, whichever one you deem, can he get to 5 innings or get through 5 innings?
Yeah,
I think it's that, sometimes I think it's easier said than done. Because the only reason you're doing this, it's because these guys can't get deep in the game.
I think we got to kill the stat. I'm sorry. I appreciate what Jerome is saying. We're trying to massage everyone's ego. We want to get the guy a win. Who gives a rat's ass about wins? Does anybody care about wins?
Mm.
Is that like, Sean, you're a Yankee fan, right? You like the Yankees? How many wins does Max Fried have this year? Do you even know?
I have no idea. Don't care. I care about the
15, 16?
Is that your guess?
That's my guess.
I'm going to go look it up right now.
Well, I know Rodon's got
17, right? Yeah, I know he's got a lot of wins. Let me see.
He's tried to get 17. I think Rodon's got 16.
He's got 16. How many does Max Fried have? What was your guess?
I guess 16 as well.
He has 17. Oh, he leads the league.
Oh, he won last. That's right. He won his last time out.
Does anybody care?
No.
I used to care.
The reason I care is because the Yankees have the top two win getters in Major League Baseball.
Well, and by the way, the reason that's the case is a testament to the fact that Fried and Rodon have gone deep in the games.
Yes.
And that's why guys like that, you wrap your arms around and you say, boy, I love them. They're valuable. Mm-hmm. They're capable of it. They're exonerated from this discussion.
Yep.
But Will Warren isn't. Cam Schlittler, as of now, isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Louise Heel isn't. Most guys aren't. And there's a reason why Max Fried is paid a lot of money. There's a reason why Carlos Rodon is paid a lot of money. Even though Rodon, at age 32, in year three of this contract, has finally thrown the most innings of his career. Like, 182, which is what he's at, is the most he's ever thrown.
Is that right?
Yeah. The most he had ever thrown prior to this year was his free agent year with San Francisco when he threw 178 innings. So he's finally surpassed that number. So Rodon is still kind of proving
right. He's
one of those guys. But most guys aren't capable of it. And I'm sorry, the stats need to change before I change how I manage. Mm. I have to manage if I'm Mendoza or Boone to win a baseball game.
Yeah,
not to keep guys happy with a stupid stat that no one cares about.
Right. Because the other metrics are what tell you how good a pitcher is.
Put it this way, Teak.
ERA will tell you how good a pitcher is than wins.
When Max Fried's not going to enter free agency because he just signed a long-term contract, mm-hmm. but I'll use him as an example. Let's say he was a free agent. Nobody would pay Max Fried based on the amount of wins he has this season.
Yeah.
They would pay him based on innings, mm-hmm. based on ERA, based on WHIP, based on everything other than wins. In fact, last year with Atlanta, where he had a pretty damn good year, statistically, almost as good of a year as he's having now with the Yankees. How many wins did he have? Anybody know?
9.
11.
That's close.
So, did we care?
No.
That's the point.
Didn't pay attention to it at all.
Wins are a dead stat.
We're just happy when he signed because he's Max Fried.
Yeah, because he's really good. Mike's in New Jersey. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. What's up?
All's good.
I got a nickname for Manaea and Holmes. They just simply call it Slay Day.
Slay Day.
Slay Day.
Slay Day. Slay Day because of the clay and S for Sean. Slay Day. My buddy has Sink and Sweep.
You know what I'm realizing through this exercise?
Nicknames are dumb.
Yeah, nicknames make things stupid.
Unless it's just natural and rolls off your tongue and is epically awesome, like Thunder and Lightning, leave it alone.
I agree.
Where did Thunder and Lightning originate from?
You know this, Sean Payton.
So he came up with it.
Well, we had personnel groupings, and we know, 21 with two running backs, one tight end, 12, one running back, two tight ends. If he wanted Ron in the game, he would say Thunder 12 or Thunder 21. If he wanted me in the game, he'd say Lightning 21.
So it wasn't even a nickname created by Sports Talk Radio.
No, it was a convention to tell which running back he wanted.
So Mike Francesa did not come up with the stat.
With
Thunder and Lightning. Chris Russo didn't come up with the stat?
No.
Imus in the Morning did not come up with the stat?
Sean Payton needed to tell me and Ron when he wanted us in the game.
And where it attracted fans was, of course, the lightning bolt on opening day versus the Cardinals.
On opening day against the Cardinals in
2000.
When Ron got drafted, it literally thundered and lightning at Giant Stadium.
It's perfect.
And everybody had to leave the stadium. They came back. I ran 78 yards for a touchdown, and it was born.
The problem is Jeremy Hefner is just not as creative as Sean Payton. Mm. So we can't rely on Hef to come up with a good nickname.
That's right.
Bob's in Keyport. What's up, Bob?
Yeah, what about the nickname Sliding Holmes?
I like that. Sliding Home. You see? See, people are creative. Let's go to Ken in Floral Park. What's up, Ken?
Hey, guys. Great show. Tiki, big Giant fan. Love you on the pre and post.
I
love your in the days. Yeah, listening to you on the post is a must.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm going to tell it like it is. Wellington Mayor used to always say, call it like you see it. That's what I do.
And you do. Yep. So, Evan, I'm a Yankee fan, but I had this weird feeling, and I felt it the other day, that the Mets are going to go on a run and maybe win the World Series. And the reason I was saying that, this is not scientific, it's kind of a karma thing. So when Pete Alonso hit that home run on Sunday, it reminded me very much of the home run that he hit in Milwaukee last year. The Mets season was about to die.
Right.
And he hit this 3-run home run to right field. And I said, uh-oh, that's the sign. They're going to now go on a run. And then I had this other weird thing, not scientific. I said, the last time the Mets won the World Series was 86, which is, 39 years ago. And then I happened to look at Edwin Diaz's number recently. I said, he wears number 39. Is he going to close out the World Series? So it was kind of nothing scientific, but right, there's some old point.
Well, here's the good news, Ken. When it comes to, like, we're 2 weeks away from the playoffs starting, right? The playoffs actually start 2 weeks from yesterday. So in 13 days, the MLB playoffs are going to start. And this is part of the beauty of baseball. I think an advantage it has over the NFL and the NBA. When the NBA playoffs start and the NFL playoffs start, you have a pretty damn good idea what the NBA Finals and the Super Bowl are going to look like.
Yes.
When the MLB playoffs start, and this is where you can throw the science out the window, anything truly can happen. And there's a lot of good to that because the Mets have had a very disappointing regular season. So despite how bad they've played for months, they are capable of going on a run to win a World Series. They are. Just like if you win 101 games, you're very much capable of getting knocked out immediately.
Right.
So you can throw the science out. But if I went around the room right now, and I will just because it's hilarious to me, and said, tell me what the World Series is going to be. There's a really good chance we're all going to be wrong. And we're not even going to be close. But it shows you how just unpredictable it is, which should give Yankee fans down on their team and Met fans questioning their team every bit of hope you need.
Yeah.
Because nothing makes sense. So, Tiki Barber?
Yes.
What will the 2025 World Series be?
Same thing I said at the beginning of the Major League Baseball season this year.
What'd you say?
Rematch Yankees-Dodgers.
Is that what you said?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought you said Tigers-Dodgers.
No, you asked me what other team would be the best team in the American League, and I said, I don't know, the Tigers?
Right. Oh, so you never actually picked the Tigers?
No, I just liked the Tigers.
All right, so on September...
Give some love to our boy Glaber.
On September 17th at 2:44 p.m., with 2 weeks to go in the season, you say Yankees-Dodgers, which, for the record, if the season ended today, would both be playing wild card series. Tommy Lugauer, if the season ended today, what's the World Series? The Mets against who?
Now, Evan, if you remember, to start the year, we all went around the room and gave a one bold long-term prediction.
I remember yours. And are you sticking with that?
Of course. And it was, I said, two New York teams will beat two Boston teams in the playoffs this season. Right. Knicks beat the Celtics. That's in the barn. And the Mets will defeat the Boston Red Sox in the World Series.
I am curious. Because you're going to be sort of right about that prediction, because I know and you know and everyone knows the Yankees are going to beat the Red Sox if they play each other.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Does that qualify as you being right? Because you said two New York teams would be Boston teams in the playoffs.
Honestly, we have to go back to the tape, because I'm assuming I said Mets.
All right.
But if I said Mets, that doesn't count. If I said New York team, I think it counts.
All right. We'll go back to the tape. Sean Moore asked you, if the season ends today, what's the World Series going to be?
Mariners, Diamondbacks.
Tiki won't see a pitch.
You're absolutely right.
He won't see a pitch, is indeed right.
At all. And I won't be working till
8:30. The Suarez series.
I don't even know where I'm going. I kind of want to go with Seattle too, Sean. Just on the hot streak. They've won 10 in a row. Why the hell not? They've never been to a World Series.
I know.
I'm going to go with another World Series that Tiki will never see. Seattle-Milwaukee. Will you see a pitch of that one?
I might, just because Milwaukee's kind of interesting.
Really?
Yeah, they're a small market. It's, you know, CeCe just got in the Hall of Fame. You know, he brought them back in a sense, back in 08, right, where he not single-handed, but you know what I mean. He took the ball every 3 days and a couple of complete games. And just a little soft spot for Milwaukee.
You know, World Series would actually bother me.
What's
so
that?
When I was growing up, I had a dream World Series not involving the Mets. Like, take the Mets out of it for a second. Obviously, as a Met fan, you want to see your team in there. But I would always say to my dad, I would love to see a Cub-Red Sox World Series. Mm. Curse versus curse. Mm. Someone's got to win. And if you remember back in 2003, the Chicago Cubs and the Boston Red Sox were both right there to advancing and getting to the World Series.
Right.
The Cubs really had the choke job. They had a 3-1 series lead, Steve Bartman, the whole thing. The Red Sox obviously had a lead in Game 7. So we came very close to seeing it. It didn't happen, and we got the complete opposite Yankees-Marlins. And then the next year, the Red Sox won the World Series, and then a decade later, the Cubs won the World Series. If the Cubs played the Red Sox, I would hate it because it would be like, this is two decades too late.
Definitely.
Like, this would have been so cool in 2002 or 2003, but to have it now when they both have already conquered their demons would almost feel like, ah!
It's Red Sox-Cubs light, but if you got Padres-Mariners... That's like Red Sox, because aren't those, how long have it been since those teams? No, Padres have never won, and neither Seattle.
Neither team has won. The Brewers, too, would fit that.
Right.
In terms of teams that have never won championships, but the problem is it just doesn't have this, no one cares.
No, exactly.
Oh. It doesn't have the same appeal.
Not even close.
Like the Texas Rangers finally won a World Series a couple of years ago, and Tiki still hasn't seen a second of that World Series.
Did anyone?
Why would I go back and watch it?
So, unfortunately...
Jacob didn't even pitch.
I know. Unfortunately for Seattle and San Diego and Milwaukee, three franchises that have never won a championship, it doesn't do it for anyone.
Would people care if it was Padres versus the Yankees? Like, if you had a team that's won a ton versus the team that's never won, would that enhance the...
No.
Interest in it?
No, just Yankee fans because they'd be in the World Series. Okay. The Yankees could play a Pop Warner team, we'd be all excited. Yankees Brewers would work that way. But no, I think that unfortunately the nation wouldn't be drawn to teams that haven't won that just like the Mariners. The Mariners haven't even been to a World Series. Like the Padres have been to one, the Brewers have been to one, even if it was a long time ago. The Mariners have never been to a World Series, which is kind of crazy.
Griffey and the Big Moose. Real quickly, though, if the Brewers made it, would anybody outside of Joe B be angry that the Brewers made it without David Stearns?
What? Like
David Stearns leaves, goes to the Mets, and now the Brewers make a World Series. Would that rub Met fans the wrong way?
Not at all.
The man from Milwaukee.
Okay.
I guess you could ask me in 2 weeks or 4 weeks, whatever it is.
I think you'll get that.
All right. Thanks for that. Let's go to Gilbert in Pennsylvania. What's up, Gilbert?
Hey, how you doing? First time, long time.
I appreciate it.
So, this idea that you had about platooning pitchers, I think is phenomenal. I think pitchers towards the tail end of their major league careers who might not be able to go full seven or six might think about not retiring, being that they only might be able to pitch four strong innings. It might work out good. And I wanted to ask is, if this idea, let's say, goes through, can you pick up more starting pitchers and leave off pitchers?
You know what I'm saying? Dude, I've thought this through. So to get in the weeds on it, the way I would execute this is that I have two different tag teams, okay? So in the Mets case, I'll use the guys that are currently here, Senga Tong, Manaya Holmes, and then three regular starting pitchers. And if those tag teams are not throwing 80, 90 pitches each,
so how many is that? So that's four, that's seven. So that's seven.
That is eight.
No, you said three
starters.
That's
seven, correct, yes. Sorry, I got the math wrong. Like, that's seven. Where's
my math?
Which would leave six bullpen arms during the normal season.
Which, by the way,
is fine because two of those games, you're probably not using much of your bullpen if any.
Right, just like last night. You're not using the bullpen at all.
Yeah, or if you are using your bullpen, maybe it's an inning from your closer.
Yes.
So I could see doing it. You can't do it with your entire rotation because that's just too many. Now 10 of your 13 pitchers are starters, so you can't do that.
Unless you got these guys that are really, they basically do the same thing every day.
Right.
As soon as the starter goes and has to leave the game, you throw in another starter, and the idea, like Manaya last night, finish the game.
Yeah. Well, that's a perfect scenario because then you don't have to use any of your bullpen. And also, in theory, like Clay Holmes threw 52 pitches last night, or 53 pitches, whatever it is. I wrote it down. 53 pitches.
Yeah.
In theory, he should be able to pitch 3 days from now, not 5 days from now.
Yes.
So you could actually maximize the amount of times your starters pitch. Chris up in Michigan. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All's good.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to say the hillbilly Hawaiian connection. and maybe on the back of the shirt it says a little bit of juice and a little bit of ooze. But I got one for your other team.
Nice.
And Sean's gonna love.
Go ahead.
I love this one. I'm thinking it's gonna be team utensil, forks and tongs.
I didn't hear what you said at all, but
team utensils.
The problem with this Hawaiian hillbilly thing is Shomanaya is from Indiana. He's not from Hawaii. So, and is Clay Holmes a hillbilly? So it's almost like you've unfairly characterized both Clay Holmes and Shomanaya. Like, Clay Holmes is from Alabama, so I guess, sure, call him a hillbilly. Mm. But Shomanaya is from, like, Valparaiso, Indiana. Where the hell he's from?
I got the better nickname. They should simply be called Bulgaria.
What?
Bulgaria. Why?
Why?
359 is the country code for Bulgaria. 35 and 59, put it together, 359. Bulgaria.
That's a pull right there.
You're trying way too hard.
He really is.
You have to think about that one. That's like a riddle that would take forever to solve if you didn't tell us.
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Yes.
Carmine is in Eatontown. What's up, Carmine?
I'm going to make it simple for you, my fellas. I was there last night, and the way I see it, it's Maho.
I like that. It's simple. Maho. Get it? Mania and Holmes.
But why? Holmes went first, dude.
Yeah, but that's not going to be permanent. That's the beautiful thing about the tag team, Teak. On Sunday against the Nationals, it's going to be Mania for
Okay. Wait a second. WWE.
Yeah.
Formerly F.
Yes.
When the tag teams were a big deal.
Oh, they still are, but go ahead.
Are they?
Yeah.
You never hear about them anymore.
I wouldn't say now that they are, but 5 years ago when the Usos were dominating and the New Day was out, yeah, it was a big deal.
Okay, so let's go back to the early days.
Okay.
Was it always the same order?
I don't think so.
Did you notice,
Tommy, if someone would always start a match?
Yes. So in the Hart Foundation, Bret Hart would always start
first.
Would
he really?
Because he would, not to get in the weeds, but he would do the hot tag. The anvil would come into all the power moves. Bret was a better seller, better
worker. Are you sure about that,
100%.
Though?
The Outsider, Scott Hall, would always start. Kevin Nash, you feature the big man. I'm way too nerdy with this stuff. The smaller wrestler guy, Teak, would start first. And then the bigger guy you always feature.
Yeah, I think
because he would come in and save
exactly
the little guy.
But like in the modern era, the Usos, one of the greatest tag teams of all time. I don't think Jay would always start or Jimmy would always start.
But I bet you with the New Day, I bet you Kofi started more than Big E.
Can you look that? Can you do some research?
Absolutely. I'll watch the tapes.
Because I think in the Mets case, they're clearly not going to start the same guy.
Yeah, that's Kofi Annan and Biggie Smalls?
Yes. Close.
Oh, okay.
Kofi Annan. You think they know who Kofi Annan is?
No, they have no idea.
How about this nickname? I got this from Daniel who just sent it to me. You guys in a football mood? You guys like the NFL? You guys thinking about Sunday when the New York Giants play the Kansas City Chiefs?
Sure.
Mahomes. Mania? Ma?
Again.
Holmes!
It's Mahomes. Always Mania first. He wasn't first last night.
He's going to be first on Sunday, Teak. I'm telling you. Carlos already said it. That he's got certain games based on the matchup. In fact, playoff time against the Dodgers. Let's say the Mets make the playoffs. Certainly not a lock, but yesterday helped. If they play the L.A. Dodgers, knowing the Dodger lineup, knowing it starts with Ohtani, knowing you got Freddie Freeman early, are you not a little bit more likely to start Sean Mania first with Clay Holmes coming in later? Are you not?
Likely.
Mahomes.
By the way, did you see Ohtani said he'd be willing to play the outfield?
Oh, God bless him. Thanks for that, Shohei. We're so honored that you're actually willing to put a glove on like a real baseball player.
He was
player.
Great yesterday. Hit his 50th.
He also pitched 5 innings.
5 no-hit innings.
You know what the Dodgers need to do? Okay. You want me to give the Dodgers some advice?
What's that?
Shohei Ohtani's got to be the closer. They have no bullpen. Ohtani should close games. Mm. And because MLB changed all their rules to benefit Shohei Ohtani around the DH, my understanding is he could simply go from DH to pitching. Stay in the lineup.
Wait, so how
and close games out.
So he goes from DH to pitching. Let's say this happens in the 8th inning. So
yeah.
There's more than one inning here. He goes from DH to the pitcher.
Yes.
What happens to the DH?
Well, so in the real rules of Major League Baseball, you'd lose the DH. But because Major League Baseball decided to change their constitution to benefit Shohei Ohtani, my understanding is he could then simply go back to DHing again once he's out of the game, which I think is the most fugazi thing in the world. But they changed the rules about 3 years ago.
But if he's the closer.
Yeah.
So he comes in and let's say they want him to get 6 out.
Yeah.
So he was the DH.
Correct.
He's no longer the DH.
Yes.
He's the
he's the pitcher, but he's still hitting in the same spot in the order.
Oh, I see.
Like they did it last night when he's batting. So back in the old days, if you were...
So they just subtract the player and make the pitcher and make Shohei Ohtani, if he's the closer, do both now.
Yes. Huh. And they changed that rule a couple years ago because I don't know if you guys remember, it was at Yankee Stadium that Ohtani pitched against the Yankees. And you guys knocked him out in the first inning. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yes.
He had to leave the game.
Yeah.
He was out of the game. And I know a lot of Yankee fans or baseball fans were like, yeah, I'm glad we knocked him around. But, geez, I mean, we don't get to see him. So they actually changed the rules. They call it the Ohtani rule, where he could come out of the game as a pitcher and remain in as designated hitter.
But I'm trying to think of a pitcher who could probably hit.
Nolan McClain. He could do everything.
Let's say Nolan McClain.
Yeah.
Pitches 5-4 innings.
Yes.
Whatever. Gets knocked out of the game early.
Yes.
And Yankees or Mets are having lineup issues.
Yeah.
He's the best option to DH. He can now go DH?
If he can only do that if... No, I don't think he can, actually. I think he'd have to start the game hitting and pitching.
Oh, got it.
So, no, it would not work that way. Plus, it's not the McClain rules. It's the Ohtani rules. I heard Shohei Ohtani can do whatever he wants on a field, and they'll allow it. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I heard he actually sometimes gets 4 strikes.
I think he can do whatever he wants off the field, too.
Oh, yeah. He could gamble or not gamble or be possibly related to gambling, but not really.
All right.
Yeah.
Wait till he can hold his arm against his chest when he's not playing well in a World Series, or he can say he's hurt.
Yeah, that too. You can do all of that. We'll get back to your calls in a minute. 888-808-1019. And two other things we need to get to. The Devin Williams trust meter, as he actually delivered last night, helping the Yankees not blow a game against the Minnesota Twins. And I still haven't heard this, but we got some TV time last night. We'll hear what Gary Cohn and Keith Hernandez had to say.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.